Well, thank you, Alan. Thank you, David. Thank you to the musicians who've led us. Good to be here with you this evening, where we are continuing our series, The Holy Spirit and ... And tonight we are dipping into John's Gospel to look at the Holy Spirit and new birth. New birth, referring to that most Christian of phrases, being born again. It's a phrase that gets bad press in our culture, isn't it? Oh, you're not one of those born again Christians, are you? But unlike certain other phrases that Christians use to label themselves with, the phrase born again is one found in the Bible. I wonder if you noticed it as Alan read to us a moment ago. Jesus said, verse 3 of John chapter 3, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. He said it first to Nicodemus, the Pharisee who'd sneaked in a secret midnight meeting with him. Jesus said it through John the author to his mainly Jewish readers around 90 AD. And get this, Jesus says it to us this evening. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he or she is born again. That means unless we are born again, we will not be saved. We will not be part of God's family. We will not be forgiven of our sins. We will not have an eternity with him, but instead we will face an eternity away from God. So I hope you can see that it's critical that we understand this phrase, born again. And tonight we're going to ask how this phrase, born again, is related to the work of the Holy Spirit in verses 1 to 8, where we'll be spending most of our time. So the first thing I want to draw our attention to is this. Being born again means experiencing the Spirit, not just affirming him. Being born again means experiencing the Spirit, not just affirming him. In verse 2, Nicodemus says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. So Nicodemus admits that Jesus is from God. He does the works of God. Now, if I were Jesus, and I can see all your ears have perked up starting a sentence like that, if I were Jesus, at that point, I would have probably responded by saying something like, Nicodemus, I wish everyone in Israel could see the truth that you see about me. If only they could all be like you and recognize that, yes, I'm from God. But thankfully, as you'll no doubt have noticed, I'm not Jesus. And instead, Jesus says, not, well done, Nick, you've seen it. But he says, you must be born again, or you will never see the kingdom of God. Seeing signs and wonders, being amazed at them, and giving the miracle worker credit that he's from God, apparently saves nobody. I suppose this is one of the great dangers of signs and wonders. You don't need a new heart to be amazed at them. The old fallen nature, human nature, is all that's needed to be amazed and even to say that it's from God. Remember, the devil himself knows that Jesus is the Son of God and works miracles. Mark 1:24 says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But rather, what's the key to the kingdom of God? We'll come back to this verse again, verse 3. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Verse 6 tells us more. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Or that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The flesh is, well, it's what we are naturally. Every human being is flesh, living flesh. But not every human being is living spirit. To be a living spirit or to have spiritual life, Jesus says, we must be born of the Spirit. Flesh gives rise to one kind of life, but the Spirit gives rise to another kind of life. And if we don't have this second kind of life, we won't see the kingdom of God. We won't be part of it. Tell us more, Jesus. Verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You see, the Spirit is not part of this natural world. He is supernatural because he is God. I suppose that helps, really. He is the immediate cause of the new birth, if you like. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, and he says to us, what happens in the new birth is not merely affirming the supernatural Spirit in Jesus, but it's experiencing that supernatural Spirit in ourselves. You must be born again. God the Holy Spirit must come upon you and bring new life into existence. And how does the Holy Spirit do that? Well, from God's side, we are united to Christ in new birth. From our side, we experience this union of faith in Jesus. Faith is awakened in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, so far in this series, and no doubt in Sundays to come, Tim and I will emphasize how in the Christian life we can be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. A second blessing, a third blessing, a fourth blessing, a fifth blessing, a blessing from the Holy Spirit every day. That will be emphasized. But that is not to lose sight of the fact that in order to become a Christian in the first place, in order to be born again, the Holy Spirit must unite you with Jesus initially. You cannot become a Christian without the Holy Spirit coming into your heart. So it's nonsense really to say, ah, yes, she's a Christian, but she's not a Spirit-filled Christian, as if that was some Christianity deluxe version for the ultra-committed, or for those who have certain gifts, or for those who come twice on a Sunday, the twicers. No, that's not what we're talking about here. But by the very fact that you have faith in Jesus, that is evidence in itself of the Spirit's new birth in your life. John Calvin said, the Holy Spirit is the bond by which Christ effectually unites us to himself. So the new birth is about experiencing the Spirit in yourself, not just affirming him in Jesus. And by that, we don't mean primarily having a warm, fuzzy feeling compared to acknowledging a theological fact. No, we mean faith in Jesus being awakened in your heart rather than acknowledging that that's possible for others. Is faith awakened in your heart? Experiencing the Spirit, not just affirming him. But second, the new birth is the Spirit creating a new human nature, not improving the old. The new birth is the Spirit creating a new person, a new nature of a human being, not merely an upgrade of the old. Let's read again verse 5. I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Now, this verse has caused a whole host of interpretations through the years. Is it talking about two separate births, the natural amniotic water of the womb, and a second spiritual birth? Does water mean Torah, the first five books of the Bible, contrasted with the Spirit who really gives life? Or, despite not mentioning it in the rest of the chapter, is it talking about baptism in water versus baptism in the Spirit, born of water and the Spirit? And you get this verse in the baptismal liturgy of many Anglican churches. Well, I think the verse turns on three factors that maybe we need to keep in mind. First, the most natural way of understanding the construction, certainly in the original Greek language it's written in, is born of water and Spirit. I'm not sure the capital S for Spirit helps us. In other words, born of one water-spirit source. There's one birth here, not two. But second, verse 5 is a repetition of verse 3. So verse 5's born of water and Spirit is a parallel phrase to verse 3's born again. Or if you look at the footnote, born from above, born from heaven. And third, Jesus rebukes Nicodemus here, doesn't he, for not understanding these things in his role as Israel's teacher. Verse 10. He is an Old Testament professor. He's supposed to be an expert in these matters. And yet he doesn't know. So it's with these three things in mind that we go to the Old Testament to see what is meant by the single new birth phrase, born of water and Spirit. Now, there's many places that might be in John, the writer's mind here, even in Jesus' mind as he speaks these things. But it's worth remembering that throughout the Old Testament, when water is used figuratively, it habitually refers to renewing or cleansing, especially when it's used in conjunction with Spirit. So perhaps the most obvious place to go to is Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 27. I don't usually go to other passages in a sermon, but I think it's maybe quite helpful here. So as you turn there, Ezekiel 36, it's on page 868. It's worth saying that Ezekiel is prophesying what God will do for his people Israel when he brings them back from exile in Babylon. But the implications are much larger than just for the people of Israel, because Jesus claims to secure the new covenant by his blood for all who trust in him. So he says, Ezekiel 36, verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. In other words, the ones who will enter the kingdom are those who have a newness that involves the Spirit creating a new human nature, not merely improving the old human nature. We are cleansed from the sin of our old human nature, and instead we are given a new spirit. We are given a new heart. So the new birth is not like the makeup that morticians in a funeral home use to try to make corpses look like they're alive. Can you imagine claiming someone was alive because you'd improve their eyeliner and their lip gloss, even if their body was deceased? Now, the new birth is the creation of new spiritual life, not the imitation of life, not the improvement of the old. Because in the new birth, we are given a new spirit entirely. Being given a new spirit, it doesn't mean that we cease to be the human being, the morally accountable self that we have always been. You won't be surprised to know that I was the human being Tim Martin before I was born again. And now I am the human being Tim Martin after I was born again. I'm sorry if that's obvious, but the point that I'm making is that there is continuity. But the person that we are, the person that continues to exist, must be forgiven. The guilt of sin is washed away. In this passage, the word is cleansed. We are cleansed. It's the Christian t-shirt, isn't it, that says, John 3, born again. I didn't turn out right the first time. We must be cleansed. We must be forgiven. But forgiveness and cleansing on its own is not enough. I need to be new. I need to be transformed. I need new life. I need a new way of seeing. I need a new way of thinking. I need a new way of valuing. I need a new way of existing, a new way to be human. That's why Ezekiel speaks of a new heart and a new spirit. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The heart of stone means our old nature, the dead heart that was unfeeling and unresponsive to spiritual reality, the heart that you had before the new birth. Now, maybe it's true that our old nature could respond with passion and desire to some things, to music, to sport perhaps, to money. But our old nature was like a stone towards the spiritual truth and beauty of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and the glory of God. And that is what has to change if we are to see the kingdom of God. The old is not improved upon. The old is not resuscitated. It's done away with. And we're given a new heart. Recently in the cold weather, I had a battle with my car battery. To cut a long story short, the car battery won. It was clearly dying, but I convinced myself that there was still life left in it. So I left it on trickle charge in my garage for hours, thinking that it would drastically improve the battery and all of a sudden it would hold a charge. But it was well past that stage and it was beyond charging. I couldn't see it, but what I needed was a new battery, not trying to improve the old one. What I needed was to remove the old battery and put in a brand new one. So eventually that's exactly what I did. But I thought, how appropriate that my new one came with a lifetime guarantee. That's some battery. I didn't know you can get the lifetime guarantee batteries today. We'll see. Friends, in the new birth, God takes out the heart of stone and he puts in a heart of flesh. The word flesh in Ezekiel, it doesn't mean merely human like it does in John 3, 6. It means soft and living and responsive and feeling instead of being a lifeless, cold stone. In the new birth, our dead, stony boredom with Christ is replaced by a heart that feels the worth of Jesus and understands what he's done for us. So being born of water and spirit. Back to John 3, it means that God puts a living, supernatural, spiritual life in our heart. And that new life, that new spirit, is the working of the Holy Spirit himself, giving shape and character to our new heart. I don't know if you've ever done pottery, maybe at school, maybe it was a number of years ago. The preacher, John Piper, he gives this example. He says, think of your new heart like a soft lump of clay, and the Holy Spirit presses himself up into it and gives spiritual, moral shape to it according to his own shape. By being himself within us, our heart and mind take on his character, his spirit. So friends, as we take a step back and as we sum up, I hope this is a source of encouragement for us. I hope this is a reason to be thankful to God if you know in your heart that you've received this new birth, if you have been born again. The new birth is not the improvement of your old human nature, but is the creation of a new human nature, a nature that is really you and is forgiven and is cleansed, and a nature that is really new and is being formed in you by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And by his Spirit there is cleansing for sins, and he replaces our hard, unresponsive heart with a soft heart that treasures the Lord Jesus above all things and is being transformed even now by the presence of the Holy Spirit into the kind of heart that loves to do the will of God and wants to serve him. And we're reminded that the new birth is experiencing that Spirit, his Spirit, not just affirming that that Spirit is in Jesus. That is, the Holy Spirit supernaturally gives us new spiritual life by connecting us with Jesus Christ through faith. So as we come to a time of communion, if you know in your heart that you have been born twice, born again, give thanks to Jesus for saving you. Give thanks to him for putting a new spirit in you. If you're here this evening and you're not yet sure if you're born again, well, I invite you now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to receive him as the sin-forgiving, transforming presence in your life. Perhaps we can have a moment of quiet, and then I'll pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that there is cleansing for sin. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you replace our hard, unresponsive hearts with new hearts, new spirits that want to serve you. Thank you for the miracle of the new birth. Thank you for what you have done in each person's heart here, who has asked you to forgive them of their sin and giving them a new heart. But I do pray for anyone here who has not yet made you their Lord, their Savior, who has not yet asked you for that new heart. Lord, please show us our need for you, show us our need for a Savior to give us a new heart. Thank you that you provide all that we need. And by your Holy Spirit, help us to live in a way that does please you, that shows to this world that needs you that we are yours, and that your Holy Spirit lives in us, dwells in our hearts, encouraging us, reminding us of who you are, convicting us of sin, guiding us into truth, giving gifts to his church. Lord, excite us with these things. Encourage us by these things. Challenge us with the truth of your kingdom. We pray these things for your kingdom's sake. Amen.